This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Seasonal affect disorder. I thought that only happened in the dead of winter. Lots of people depressed because of how hot it is. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope you had a fabulous 4th of July weekend. I know some people really were able to string that out to maybe even 5 days plus. A lot of people traveled. There were some flight delays and some really wacky weather, but it's heat that so many were talking about. I saw an interesting headline where it said July 3rd was the hottest day on record until July 4th. So it has been hot. In fact, everybody I've talked to crisscrossing across the United States, the very first thing that they said to me today, different people, that paying a bill, talking to someone about a project, is how hot is it? This is the conversation that we're having. So Tuesday was the hottest day, though, on Earth since at least 1979. The global average temp, 62.92 degrees Fahrenheit. This is all this data that's collected from the U.S. National Centers for Environmental Prediction. So it was super, super hot for so many people. 57 million in the U.S. exposed to dangerous heat. Extreme heat trackers are now very, very popular. And what does that mean? It means knowing the color code. And when you hear that you got a red and it's dangerous, meaning 103 to 125, you don't want to spend a lot of time maybe outdoors at a particular time of the day. And there were a lot of people that were under that red zone, maybe 16%, but extreme caution most was 52%, so kind of that orangey red. And that meant long or more frequent heat waves, and that's the kind of things that were happening, that we were experiencing in the last week or so. But even before that, we know this was happening. I've said this over and over again because I had a heat illness once when I thought I was so cocky and bold that there was no way that was going to hit me. I'm in great shape. And sure enough, it is a terrible thing when it sets in. And it happens quickly, 10 to 15 minutes. Your body overheats and you just can't cool it off. You can't properly do that. So you get muscle cramps or spasms. You get super tired, a crazy pulse rate, sometimes dizzy, nauseous, confused, fainting. And so people are experiencing a lot of those symptoms. So it's a good idea to not poo-poo the idea that, oh, I can take the heat. Sadly, we've seen some people that have lost their lives because of the heat, and it's getting worse in some cities. Jacksonville, Florida, 107 degrees. Fort Worth, Texas, 109 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, you're used to it, but still, hey, 110 degrees. For all the people listening to us in Tucson, you didn't quite peg out at red, but you were almost there, 103 degrees. So, hey, listen, urban centers, they've got fewer trees. There's not as much grass. So you got that pavement, and that's 20 degrees hotter sometimes. So that means more heat watches, more warnings, more advisories, things to look at. There's a lot of places to go. Weather.gov is a good place to go. There's all kinds of ways to look at whatever the heat situation is going to be. And, of course, we walk around with these phones that are just data centers, and they've got the weather app that tells us what's happening, and often you can look at, go deeper into that and look and see what the map shows you, just in case you thought you were okay. So I'm not here to crack open this mic and give you a big, wide lecture at the top, but just that's what we have seen now for the last really couple of weeks. But the last week throughout the holiday, it was particularly bad. The other thing that happens sometimes with the heat, temperatures rise, you have more shootings, and we saw that in Shreveport, Louisiana, there was a fourth victim that was found after a mass shooting at a 4th of July block party. People, senseless violence, makes no sense. Then there was a father preparing to walk his daughter down the aisle, and a young guy who ran out for a snack killed in a Philadelphia mass shooting. As somebody who is from that area, so sad to read the details of that senseless violence, thinking of the moment and what was happening. And I set it up for you there, where here was this guy, Ralph Morales, the simple task, the honor of walking his little girl down the aisle didn't happen. Instead, he was shot dead by a gunman who just randomly started firing at cars and nearby people, pedestrians walking around in southwest Philly on Monday night. And it was just a timing thing that he happened to be there when, you know, when that happened. And then there was the guy, Lasheed Merritt, who left his house for just a quick run to the store to get a snack, and he didn't come back. Like everybody's worst nightmare, like, what happened? He was going to get us some ice cream and didn't come back because he was in the middle of the shooting too, as well. And no explanation, just the random senseless act of it all. And sometimes those kinds of crimes increase when you have the weather that rises. I know a lot of police officers will say that. We've had cops on in the past, and we've talked about what do we see with certain weather patterns. And that is one of the things that you often see. There is a high spike in people doing some senseless, crazy things. So now, like I said at the top, summer seasonal affect disorder. I thought it was all just about the winter. People complain, oh, it's so cold, I can't stand it. We have to get heat lamps. We can't deal with the gray clouds all the time or the rain in the Seattle area. And that's a problem for lots of people, where there's more suicides, mental health problems. But now there's a sad version of it, the summer version of this. It's not getting a lot of attention, but it's happening, where more psychiatrists and psychologists are talking about people being affected by the heat. So where in the winter you oversleep, overeat, feel sluggish, in the summer, more insomnia, less appetite, more agitated, which goes to what I was saying before, and just more lethargic, very, very lethargic. I can relate to the whole heat thing, though, can't you? Where, yeah, it is, it does kind of set in this sort of exhaustion where you're just shaking your head thinking, wow, why, where is this coming from? And of course it is because of the heat. Hey, coming up in this hour, your thoughts in a couple when we hit the mailbag. Also, it's about the numbers we can count. There's numbers that seems to everything, and we certainly have them, including this new study that talks about the best countries in the world, and you won't believe where the U.S. ranks. We'll get to that at the tail end of the show, but coming up next, some more things that happened east to west and somewhere in between over the last couple of days as we catch up.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
What's happening there and what some people are talking about. One of the things that I think is interesting that I saw in Los Angeles, a little bit of conversation I think that's pretty interesting about this neon museum. You know, there's one in Vegas. When you go to Vegas, I think it's a can't miss thing that you want to do if you're there. You go to Fremont Street. And it's a neon graveyard of all the old, not everyone, but all, for the most part, signs that were part of Vegas, iconic signs. And it's the coolest thing. People have weddings there. It is so worth a trip to see that. Now there's a museum of neon, and it's, you know, the art. In Los Angeles, real treasures like those motel signs, you know, the vacancy and just the Western Motel. So the Museum of Neon Art is in Pomona. It's at a storage warehouse. It's got like 300 different really enormous pieces that they've got there, this collection that is very rarely open to the public, and that starts in a couple of days. So if you happen to be in that area, it would be worth the trek to go and see it, because it's like this 2,500 square foot space. I was reading about it in the Los Angeles Times, just crammed with those big pieces where you have vintage equipment, those a tube tester to check the integrity of the neon tubes and signs that were connected to like Marilyn Monroe or Elvis or communities. They have a story to tell. There was a K from Knott's Berry's farm that was part of an amusement ride. There were other little treasures from various motels and hotels, and really very, very cool. And it's like a 20-minute tour you can take, I guess. And they've got a brewery that's there, and they call that the Neon Bear, and that's got some more neon in it. And then they've got a food truck, so you can always grab some grub there. They have the famous iconic Brown Derby sign. If you look up Brown Derby, it was such a big deal to go there. Like Lucille Ball, back in her day, would go there. And even they made an episode where she went to visit the Brown Derby, because so many people would go and would eat there. You know, it was one of those places that you went to. I remember the Vegas and seeing something similar but a little bit different in Vegas. And I would say I would put that for sure on my list. And then if we went further north on the West Coast and we looked at Seattle and what are people in Seattle talking about, well, we're talking about the Mariners, who are on a bit of a win streak, and it stopped at 4. They got blanked by the Giants. We also had some threats for some Seattle-bound flight that temporarily closed an airport area because of that. And then a conversation about red tape and affordable housing and the construction of that and cutting through that so people could find more affordable places to live. Because Seattle, the Emerald City, is beautiful, but it is a very expensive place to live. I mean, we could say that about a lot of pockets across the United States, but it's something that people there really, really complain about, that they have to leave it. They love it, but they have to leave because they just can't afford to live there, and they get further and further out. And they're not as happy because they would rather be closer in. If we go to the Midwest and we look at Chicago. In Chicago, everything is about the weather. But the weather, not so much the heat, but the rain. Flash flood warnings in place for the city itself, Chicago, Orland Park, which is a popular suburb. The White Sox game had to be postponed because of rain, so now there's a doubleheader for Thursday. The idea that the rain just a couple days ago affected the NASCAR race, and people were trapped in cars. It was really bad. Flash flooding, where massive amounts of rain came down within, you know, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and just kind of circled around. We've seen this phenomenon in other places, too. And then something else we're talking about in Chicago that they're talking about all over the country and would make what I would call the front fold. When you used to get a newspaper and it would be what you would see, you'd go to the convenience store now, you probably see a couple of papers, and what's the big headline? And one of the headlines is Meta going after Twitter with social media with an app called Threads. There's like an app for everything. So Threads is going to be the rival to Twitter, or at least that's the thought, that it could be the rival. And it's the same thing, where it's a thread. It's a smaller, quick little hit of what you're going to have the ability to say in a post. And it'll gain some traction, I think, but how much traction? Will it really take a lot away from Twitter? Because, you know, sometimes it's about the familiar, or people have already built up X amount of followers, and they're not just going to completely abandon ship and try something new, or they may have it, but still the focus will mostly be on the app that they're familiar with, which is Twitter. I don't know. It could give Twitter a run for it's money, especially with the way Elon Musk is going. Who knows? He could completely blow it. All right, if we look at New York and dive into some of what's being talked about in New York, there's a crazy thing that happened before the plane even left the terminal. And there was, of course, because we live in the world of it's easy. We all walk around with cameras and where we can take photos or video. And whether it's an Android or your Apple iPhone, whatever it is. But there's a woman who threw a computer monitor and some scanners when she had a little fit at the airport counter. She wasn't happy with what was going on. And, oh, it's bad for her. I mean, there's no denying that she jumped over the counter space and just took a monitor and threw it. And, you know, she just went ballistic at the counter. And so she's, of course, accused of damaging equipment, disturbing the peace, slammed four computer monitors, four handheld barcode scanners. So pretty bad what happened there. And this was at, by the way, the Mexico City International Airport. You thought I was going to say New York, didn't you? One of the three New York airports, but no. She was going to New York. She was screaming she wanted her money back, and she's not getting her money back. She is in trouble. She's in prison is what's happened to her. I've seen people melt down at counters. I saw a woman do a similar thing where she tried to grab a computer, and her husband was right in front of me, and I said, boy, you better scramble and get out of here. And they did. And they were lucky because the people behind the counter weren't trying to get information, you know, take photos and all that other stuff. But she didn't actually heave in the air, throw computers, and you know, there's no denying, like I said, that evidence is certainly there. And something that they had in the New York paper, and they had this on the West Coast too, Lake Tahoe, July 4th, after the party, people left behind 8,500 pounds of trash. It took over 400 volunteers 3 hours to rake up these huge piles of trash that were tragically high. Can you imagine? I mean, people, you can't throw your trash away. You just throw it on the ground. You just walk away from the trash. Shame on those people. Come on. That's an easy thing to do. Pick up after yourself. Ridiculous. All right, coming up, we're going to go to the mailroom. Jack asks, Kate, did you see any fireworks? I got an answer for that next.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. President Biden is meeting with Sweden's Prime Minister at the White House today. While speaking from the Oval Office, Biden says he's anxiously looking forward to Sweden becoming a member of NATO.
Sweden is going to make our alliance stronger. the same value set that we have in NATO. And really looking anxious and looking forward for your membership.
Washington, D.C., which has some of the strictest gun laws in the country, recorded multiple deadly shootings over the holiday weekend. Speaking at a press conference in our nation's capital, Muriel Bowser notes the violence in multiple other cities.
We are also troubled by violent incidents that we've seen around the country where violence and guns marred a holiday weekend.
Tim Berg, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Talk about the mail, please, Malcolm. I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Stick in the mail,
then. I'm going to have to dig very hard because you just really served it up. Thanks for that. 24/7, you can send me your thoughts, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Click on contact. That's how you do it. Jack did. Jack says, hey, Kate, I was wondering if you saw any of the great fireworks displays that were going on across the U.S. And, of course, I would love to be able to have surveyed all of them, but no, I did physically go and see some fireworks. It was incredible. One of my favorite things to do, and I talked about this, that there was a time when I was working and we scrambled and got on the roof in Dallas, and I was able to see all the suburbs where you could see, oh, look, there's fireworks over there, and there's fireworks, it looks like, all the way down in Fort Worth. You could see that far away. And it was really cool to see that. And I had that chance. Because by the beach, I probably saw 14 different fireworks displays from my vantage point on the top of a bridge. You know, they said there was 14,000 fireworks displays. That's what the American Pyrotechnics Association estimates, that that's how many official ones lit up the sky this past 4th of July. And I got to see so many with you know, within 20 minutes I was watching finales where as far as the eye could see, and I took some really cool pictures that I'm going to post on my fan page on Facebook. So if you are on Facebook, go and look at that. It was really neat to see it. Like I said, it's not the same as sitting there just watching some probably incredible fireworks at one event. It was that I was able to look all the way down the water and see so many different fireworks going off, and I like that. I liked that vantage point, just as kind of a different view for sure. A lot of people I know didn't want to do the fireworks thing because they don't want to fight crowds, like huge displays where they have to go and park and they're far out and they have to get there way before the event, and just didn't feel like dealing with all that you have to deal with in watching the fireworks, because they get popular and become bigger and bigger, some of the fireworks events out there. So I avoided that whole thing. Right? It was great. And there were so many little pockets of where you could go and find them. So I was pretty happy about that. So thanks for asking, Jack. And you didn't even say whether you saw them or not. All right, this one is from Max, kind of related to what happened this past holiday, and he says, Kate, wow, I was reading about all these shark attacks off of New York. I guess when you think of sharks, obviously you think of Australia and the Great Barrier Reef, but when you think of the U.S., you think of maybe the California coastline, Florida, the Carolinas, but I didn't realize that it was such a big deal in New York. Oh, absolutely. They've talked about New York for a long time, like Long Island. And that's where a couple of those swimmers were attacked by sharks. At least one beach, they had to kind of delay opening because they had drones. They put drones out there and they spotted 50 sand sharks. Now, sand sharks aren't going to hurt you, but 50 of them? And it's a very popular beach park area. So they waited and they just kind of advised swimmers to stay close to shore. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to the beach and I'm with my family, friends, whatever it is, and I get this advisory that, hey, we've spotted 50 sand sharks, you might want to stick close to shore, I don't know that I really am going to jump in the water and be super excited about that, right? But they're just sand sharks, which they are just sand sharks, but that's a lot of sharks. Let's just put it that way. And there were some other areas, too. In the Hamptons, there was a 47, and see, this is how deep he was. This guy was, 47-year-old guy, he was chest deep in the water. And he felt this bite, like felt some weird sensation in his right knee. He didn't see anything, but it was, when he got out of the water, his leg was bleeding. It was a shark bite. So another person, same thing, that felt this weird sensation on his hand when he was swimming near Fire Island Pines Beach. This is also New York, and it turned out it was like a shark bite. Oh, that would be, I don't know. That happens to you. I don't know how you feel about jumping back in. You know, they say get back on the horse. Do you get back in the water if the shark bumped you? And you got a little nip on your knee, on the back of your hand. And if you think about the statistics they have out there, and I went back and looked at this. So the whole summer of 2022, and there could have been more, but there were 8 shark bites off of Long Island beaches, the Long Island shores. So, yes, New York, absolutely. If you go back in history, some of the most violent attacks, I mean, this is, of course, decades ago, happened in the beaches off of New York and northern New Jersey, believe it or not. And, of course, I mean, you know, Atlantic Ocean. You're talking about the Atlantic Ocean and whatever draws the sharks in. All right, let's move to another one. This one is from Mary, who says, Kate, I heard you talking about movies and the fact that you were a big fan of Mission Impossible, and I guess that's coming out pretty soon in a couple of weeks. And because of you saying that you had rewatched the other Mission Impossibles, My husband and I went back and did the same thing. We probably have the same streaming service as you. And it was actually kind of good to do that. It got us ready for this next one, because it's like going back and refreshing yourself as to what happened before. And I'm wondering if you know anything about the one that's coming up. Yeah, this is called, it's called Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, right? It's part one. So, of course, this is the new thing they do, right? They pull you in. Part one. And it's not a short movie. It's almost 3 hours long. So now you add in, although you get seats that are assigned, you know, like you, for no movie theater, it's not just open seating, so you could go in at the last minute, but you have the whole preview thing that you have to sit through, so almost 3 hours long, and this is the first one, and the first one is, I mean, I've just seen some trailers about it, but it looks like it's pretty fast-moving action. You got all the whole team back, Ving Rhames and Simon Pegg and the other familiar faces, and it looks like there's a pretty decent theme to this. And of course, you got the motorcycle chases and bullet trains through tunnels and that sort of thing happening in this next Mission Impossible. But I am a fan of it. So yeah, it comes out the 12th. I you're right. I said that I will go and see it. The last movie I saw, and I've talked about this already, is Indiana Jones, and I thought that was pretty good. You know, supposedly this is the last one for Harrison Ford. No more Indy in the series. But I thought they left it open for, whoops, maybe we changed our mind. And I thought it was good. It moved pretty fast. I don't think that was like a slow drag. Let's put it that way. All right, let's go to Will, who says, Kate, did you hear this story? I don't know if it's a bunch of nonsense concocted, but about this cocaine thing at the White House, and they're trying to figure out who left cocaine at the White House. Of course I heard about it. It was reported all over the place. And it was left in some area that is used by visitors that tour the White House, and the president and his family, nobody was there when all of this was found, when a little bit of coke was found. And it's obviously a highly unusual story. And what are the details of it? It happened on Sunday. And it's certainly not what you want to hear. Oh, there was powder found around the White House. And, of course, you think of chemical attacks. So then you have to test it. That's how you know it's cocaine or not. That the Secret Service just confirmed that what was found a couple of days ago was not more of an explosive substance, that it was cocaine, and they're investigating it as to, you know, where it came from and, you know, that whole kind of thing. So you can just imagine the conspiracies that were probably flying around, I'm sure, about where did that come from. But they were away. The whole family was away when they found it. And, you know, Who knows? And it's a heavily trafficked area in the West Wing. That's where visitors take tours on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They were taking tours, so they'll probably look at camera footage and maybe they'll be able to figure out who that was. Just somebody that was, I bet, taking a tour. I'm going to assume, but yeah, it was weird to see that headline though. Cocaine found at the White House. So you're thinking, like, bricks of cocaine? What does that mean? Like, I saw a really vague headline about that. So it does make your mind go to a place where it's like, oh, they're talking about a little tiny, barely a line of this stuff that was a little powdery substance that was shown up there. I bet you they may be able to trace that back to somebody on some footage. All right, coming up, as we head for the exits, we can count. Best country to live, find out around the bend.
feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Not the United States. A new study, in fact, ranked the United States 23rd. What? We're number 23. That's where we start with we can count. So where is this study, and where did it take place, and what's it all about? It came out of Germany, and part of what they looked at is a democratic government, meaning everybody has a say, good-paying jobs for people, efficient health care. That's some of the key ingredients to where you want to live, the fact that you can afford to live, that kind of thing, well-functioning. So with some of that criteria in mind, the researchers that put this together in their polling found out that number one, so I'm not going to hang you out to dry on this one, Singapore. Number one, if you look at crime, if you look at the affordability of health care, happiness factor, Singapore was one, Australia was two, Denmark three, 4 was the Netherlands, 5 Estonia. Now, some of these places are smaller, of course. Luxembourg and Norway make the list. Belgium, 9 New Zealand, 10 Germany, where this study actually came from. Finland was 11. Then you go further down the list, and Switzerland made 18, 19 was Japan, 20 was France, and Spain checked in at 21, and Malta 22, and the United States 23, yikes. If you go all the way down the list, of course, you get into some of the Middle Eastern countries that where they have terror threats and wars that have cropped up, all of that. Iraq is 149, Pakistan 150 on the list, Lebanon 154 on the list, Ethiopia 161, people starving, all of that makes sense if that constitutes what they're saying is the best place to live in a nutshell. But 23 for the United States, yikes. And some of that, I think, has to do with health care and the availability of health care, the affordability. It's not there. So that is going to make the U.S. fall further down on the list. All right, other numbers to look at. How about this? U.S. pedestrians, so you're walking along, U.S. pedestrians, you get hit. U.S. pedestrian deaths have reached a 40-year high. How many, so if you look at the comparisons, motorists killed more than 7,500 pedestrians last year. This is from the Governor's Highway Safety Association. They attribute the increase in part because of the popularity of trucks and SUVs. They're heavier, they're bigger, and they're more likely to kill pedestrians. That's frightening. 7,500, but then you think of, you multiply that by how many people there are in the United States, you know, over 300 million. I can see it. Have you ever been walking somewhere and a truck zooms by? And it could be not a truck, it could be a car or whatever, and it seems like they just flew by you, you didn't even, like a BB, you didn't even see them, and they kind of jerked the wheel of the car, and you'd be a goner. I mean, there's just no question about it. And I live in an area where there's not sidewalks everywhere, so when I see a truck barreling down the road and I'm walking the dog, he is so glued to me, and I step up into someone's driveway, like pull into their driveway physically. I'll just kind of walk up a little bit, and then I think, oh, some of the things that we've heard about people looking out their windows, but I'm not deep into the yard because it scares me. So 7,500, whew. The median age, a lot of people were talking about this, in the U.S. reached an all-time high of 38.9 in 2022. That's up from 35 in 2030. In 1980, the rise is attributed to declining birth rates, while reduced immigration and the continued aging of baby boomers also plays a role in that. That makes sense for the 38.9. Then there is something that we've talked about a lot on this show, and when we talk about numbers, and what have we talked a lot about? One of the things that we've talked a lot about is the whole idea of what's happening with polls and the different politicians, because we're gearing up. It's still 15 months away, but the polls matter in some senses in raising money and looking at who's leading, theoretically, the PAC, Democrat or Republican. And so there's this whole push now for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he's actually getting some numbers. The 69-year-old is getting some numbers. I mean, he's an anti-vax conspiracy theorist. And some Democrats are calling him a nuisance candidate. But he is polling 15 to 20% in a lot of polls. So he's popping up on more interviews. He was on this show a couple of years ago. And some of his ideas that are floating around out there are ideas a lot of people want to hear. So there is a little bit of meat on that bone. But ultimately, does it mean that he gets the nomination? I would be very, very shocked if that were to happen. One never knows, but I would be stunned, let's just put it that way, if that was the case. All right, how about this? There's a trend that is sweeping Chinese social media. It's causing, it's where users actually amuse themselves by eating and mocking bland, spiceless food like cold cut sandwiches, raw vegetables, canned tuna. And it's, you know, they're cracking each other up with some of what they're writing underneath the photos. And hundreds of these are popping up every day. There's your number, hundreds of them. Bloggers are writing about it. They're posting plain broccoli, brown rice, chicken breast. I don't get it. Do you think that's funny? The bland, here's bland eating, and that more people are copying that. And look, they're kids mostly that are doing it, so maybe that explains it. Like, okay, don't you get the joke? But I don't get the joke. Millennials. The joke might be on you. Millennials are the biggest liars of all generations, according to a new survey. The PlayStar survey, where they talked to more than 1,300 people, half of them male, half of them female, to see how they lie in different environments. They were from Colorado, Illinois, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Wisconsin. And the findings show that of all the generations, those born between 1981 and 1996 are the biggest culprits of lying in the workplace and on social media. The findings showed that millennials were the worst offenders, 13% copping to being dishonest at least once a day. Now, this was what was interesting. Only 2% of baby boomers born between 1946 and 64 fibbed, they're saying, once a day. Well, it kind of makes sense to me because they're not working. A lot of them aren't working. Then Gen Z and Gen X, only 5% admitted to some sort of daily deception. And the hotbed for deceit, social media. That's where people lie, to impress people, of course. So if you've got a quarter of millennials, 23%, and one in five Gen Zers, 21%, lying on social media, they're saying they're trying to impress people. That's the whole problem with the whole social media thing, right? What's real and what's fake? You know, that's what started that nickname, Facebook, Fake Book. All right, people, despite all that, I say that we still live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, and you can grab the brass ring, dream big, and then multiply it. This is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness, he is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter @KateSDelaney.
at Kate Estellini. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.